This is FUV Live Sessions, a podcast brought to you by WFUV in New York City. Each week, we talk to artists in our Bronx studio or at venues around New York City and listen to them play a live set. You'll get to hear the songs and learn about the artist. New episodes drop every Monday wherever you listen to podcasts, and be sure to follow the show to stay up to date on all of the latest episodes and to find your next favorite artist or band. And if you like what you hear, please make sure you rate and review the show so that other music lovers can find it. This is FUV Live Sessions with the New Yorker, Renee Elise Goldsberry. I'm Kara Manning. I'm here with host Megan Suma at WFUV. And Megan, I have to say that I remember first seeing Renee at the Delacorte Theater in 2005 in a production of Two Gentlemen of Verona.
Oh, wow.
And I can tell you, it was so exciting to have one of Hamilton's Schuyler sisters up here today.
It really was.
You are still glowing from the conversation.
It was amazing. I mean, she really is a true... She's not even a triple threat. She's like whatever. She's a quintuple threat. She's good at everything she does. And every piece of art that she touches is better because she was a part of it. I saw her in Hamilton in the original Broadway cast in summer of 2016, shortly before she went on to do other things. And I just remember feeling so, she's magnetic. And having her in the station today, it was the exact same energy. And instead of having her here in a musical theater capacity, she was here to sing some songs from her new album, Who I Really Am, which came out on June 6th. It's 13 tracks. It is just filled with vocal and musical prowess.
If I'm not mistaken, too, because you talk about this, I believe there is actually a Hamilton track that emerges in a very different way on this album, too.
There is. There's an acoustic version of Satisfied from the show that basically Renee had expressed an interest in doing it, and she offered that option up to Lin-Manuel Miranda, who wrote Hamilton, and he was like, yeah, that sounds like a great plan. Let's do it. So there's this gorgeous acoustic version of Satisfied that comes in the middle of the album. It is so amazing. It's so good. She's so talented. And she came today with an amazing support system, an amazing band, amazing backup vocalists. Actually, one of her backup vocalists and I went to college together, which is hilarious.
I should say you are a music theater kid. You are a musical theater kid, rather. And so you were especially excited to be doing this session today. What are we going to start with?
We're going to start with the title track, actually. The first song that we're going to hear is Who I Really Am. It's FUV Live Sessions with Renee Elise Goldsberry in Studio A.
Sing up.
was Renee Elise Goldsberry live in Studio A with the song Who I Really Am, the title track from her new debut album. Renee Elise Goldsberry is a true triple threat, so much so that it's actually a lyric in that title track. She created and originated the role of Angelica Schuyler in Hamilton on Broadway and won a Tony Award for Best Featured Actress in a Musical. Serendipitously, the show is actually celebrating its 10-year anniversary this year. You may have also laughed hysterically while watching her performance in the comedy Girls 5 Eva or wept uncontrollably during her performance in the film Waves. I could go on and on about her awards, accolades, and accomplishments, but actually, the point of this debut album is to celebrate the foibles and failures of being human. So let's get into what it's like to be human and be imperfect and write songs about it. So I think I kind of want to start with talking about the title track and why you think it's so important to make art that kind of moves away from perfection, but rather talks about the dirtier parts of what it means to be a real person.
I think art imitates life. And as in life, we are most valuable when we are not showing perhaps the most celebrated sides of ourselves. The accolades, I used to always say, I think somebody could figure out how to accept an award. But how do you manage losing a person that you love or a dream that you had? How do we fall and get back up? That's what I find most valuable about people. It's interesting that you mentioned the movie Waves, this fantastic film that is so hard. It is a bitter pill.
It is
a cautionary tale. And I don't personally believe in movies that are just kind of like some porn, like trauma porn kind of movies for the sake of that. You know, what's so salacious about that? What matters, though, and why that movie is so important is seeing people move on. Figuring out how to move on. And so I just love that. I love that there's this album that talks about, you know, in the first verse, all of these things that are so great. Oh, the things that you might talk about in your biography. And then you realize, no, but in actuality, who I really am includes the things that I've lost, the ways that I'm most vulnerable, the ways that need more confidence than I might have. All of those things I find most valuable about people. And I consider them more telling and more defining.
Yeah. And I love that you really put that into this title track. I love that line, and I hope I don't mess it up, but it's like, dig a little bit and you might get dirty.
Because the bones are buried.
The bones
deep.
Are buried deep.
They are. They are. And they're who we are.
Yeah.
Also, that's not the only part of us. But I definitely think when we introduce people, that's why I love your introduction so much. Just sometimes I almost don't recognize myself if you don't include the things I've survived.
Was there anything as you were making this project and you were kind of diving into talking about some of those harder things? Was there anything that you kind of almost shied away from including?
Not a thing. But what I did realize just before I sat down with you was that I it took me a couple of years to make this album because I think I had a bit of an identity crisis, which is why it's kind of interesting that it's called Who I Really Am. I didn't necessarily have any discomfort with sharing any part of myself or any part of my experience because I so very much believe what I just said. What I had trouble accepting was the fact that my self-expression comes out in such diverse form. I had a little trouble knowing that it was okay to make an album with songs that might sound like, is that the same artist? I had to believe that just that I was doing it, that it was my story, that it was my voice, that I liked it was enough. And it took me a minute to recognize that the outliers can actually be the substance of a thing.
And I feel like you're bringing so much of your history and your personal experiences to this. You've been, I think I read in a Rolling Stone article, you've been songwriting since you were in high school.
I have.
And now you've brought these, I think you wrote 11 of the 13 tracks on the album. And so I'm kind of curious, how did writing these songs and putting this project together, how did it kind of help you process some of those things that you were sharing on the album? Did it kind of change the way you had seen any of those circumstances in your life previously?
It's so wonderful. I've been writing music for a long time. And so you write about like extreme emotion sometimes. On this album, sometimes I'm just writing about joy, or I'm celebrating my husband, or saying something that I want my kids to understand, or remembering a moment like when I was at my lowest and most humbled in college. I'm sitting here in this wonderful place, you know, like when I realized, oh my God, I'm a cliche. My life is a bit of a cliche, like these kinds of moments. And how do you express them? And what I learned is that from writing in earlier in my life, I only knew so much of the experience. Perhaps if my heart was broken, I only knew that I was heartbroken. Mm. And what I know, writing music now, there's like an outro. There's the end of the song where I can talk not only about what he did to me, but what we learned from it. Because I know that that person, I'm not still in that same moment. I've lived another 20 years past it. I have a song in on my album where I talk about someone whose heart I broke and the devastation of that. And what I love is I realized, oh my God, I've lived this long. I can now talk about the fact that he's fine.
He's okay.
He's totally okay. The best thing I ever did for him was get out of his way. Yeah. And I wouldn't have known to write that 20 years ago.
I think we have this sort of inclination when something bad happens to try and find a villain, I guess. But sometimes somebody stepping out of our lives is the biggest favor they can do for us.
And time is the only thing that tells you that. I mean, faith would help you before you figure it out, but definitely time. And so what I didn't necessarily need to make anybody a villain throughout the whole song, but what I got was a moral. Mm. You know, like the moral to the story.
Yeah.
I feel like I have lessons learned.
That's beautiful. And something I love about this project is that it feels really autobiographical. Like, instead of waking up one morning and being like, you know what, I'm going to write a memoir, you're like, I'm going to put my memoir into this album.
Yeah.
And it celebrates and talks about and dives into so many of the things that you are, you know, stage performer, film and television performer, mother, wife, partner, friend, person in the world, artist. And I'm wondering, it's not like, who are you really? But it's like, what do you hope people learn about you and take away from this project as you're sharing that kind of narrative arc of your life up to this point?
You know what? I just thought when you asked that question, it's not so much that I feel that they need to know me. I think I'm like modeling the behavior. Mm. I think it's more like I've had such an interesting time on this journey of finding, of finding how to make this album and what belongs here in my story. And one of the most challenging things is what I'm not putting on it.
Yeah.
What I'm not putting on it and what I am putting on it. And the process of taking the two sides of our lives, the shiny side and the side that we want to kind of cover up a little bit, and like celebrating all of it. I think that's really more what I'm modeling. Like, this is me. You can do this too. Not that anyone needs to know that, but I think when we see people do things, it encourages what we're doing in our own life. It affirms that. And so that's what I'm trying to do. I'm affirming the quest for acceptance of self.
I think sometimes people do need that. It's a nice reminder. Even if we don't need permission, it's a nice reminder that we have all the tools we need to do whatever we want to do.
Absolutely. Wherever we are on the journey, another song on the album, Enough.
Enough.
We are enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you write that song for one of your children?
I wrote it for me.
The
Enough song I wrote, it's really just about that voice in your head that tells you that you haven't done enough, no matter what you've done. And I'm going to tell you this. As a person who, I mean, I have won some awards that I didn't dream I would ever win. You know, some other person would just ride off into the sunset and say, check the box, I did it. And, you know, I still wake up and in my head, I hear this voice, you know, what are you doing? What have you done? What are you doing? What have you done? It's not enough. It's not enough. It's not enough. And I think we battle that. And I was trying to just, I wasn't necessarily trying to give an answer, even though I do kind of give a bit of an answer in there. It was more just like acknowledging if you're sitting in traffic by yourself, but something is screaming in your head, you know, what are you doing? You're not alone. And trying to find an answer for that doesn't mean that you're needing to deal with that voice doesn't mean that you're crazy. But there is a way to find, let's say, a way to stay ambitious and also be grateful. Because if you can't figure that out wherever you are on your journey, you never will. There is no mountaintop that is the end. it's always the bottom of another mountain. Mm-hmm. I'm quoting the bridge of my song, but it's always the bottom of another mountain. We will all, and even if we're not doing it to ourselves, you're going to go online and somebody's going to be like, what has the cast of Hamilton done lately? I mean, it's never going to go away. So you have to be, I think, quite intentional about giving yourself some option for satisfaction.
Yeah. Which is perhaps another song.
It is. It's also on the album. I didn't say that by accident.
I love it. And we're actually going to hear another one coming up. And I want to talk a little bit about the musicality and the vocals. The second song that we're going to hear is Staring.
Yay.
And okay, I love this song so much. When I heard it, I was like, oh, the vocal layers. I mean, there's so many like tilts and flips that you're doing. Then there's like the mercy, which is so fun. And you have your gaggle of background vocalists.
The baddest singers ever.
They're
yes.
amazing. And they're just hyping you up
the
in
whole
the
time.
Background.
That's what you do. You hire people that love you to hype you up so that you can do crazy things.
How did you kind of put all of the vocal layers and puzzle pieces for this song together?
You know, sometimes, and that's what I love about art so much, is that you just stumble upon things that you love. We literally stumbled upon this. We had this bass line that I didn't even understand. And this idea, I don't even know how it started, but I know the motivation behind this song Staring was my husband. I know that I wanted to objectify him. just because we always talk about how great he is, because he's so great. And I loved the idea of reducing him to parts.
Yeah.
Because we can take for granted that he's the best husband and the best father. And just like he's like the salt of the earth, if you know him. So this is fun. Also, he waited a really long time and invested a lot of our finances mm-hmm. in this album. So it's fun to sing about him. But the song is quirky. It's not exactly a blues. It's kind of modern, but it is a blues.
Yeah.
And it's got a humor in it. It's got a lot of my personality in it. And it almost didn't make the album because I thought, but I'm not a blues singer. But guess what?
You can do whatever you want.
I can do whatever I want. So here it is. And when I put it on the album, it gave me permission to put everything I like on the album.
Well, let's go ahead and hear it right now. This is Renee Elise Goldsberry singing Staring from her new album, Who I Really Am, live in Studio A for FUV Live Sessions.
Ready for the way you look.
That was Renee Elise Goldsberry singing Staring from her new album, Who I Really Am, in Studio A. Renee, that was amazing.
Thank you so much. How about that band? How about those singers?
And that's actually something I really want to talk about. Can you tell me about this amazing band that you have supporting you and your backup vocalists?
Oh, my gosh. So it's scary. I'll tell you this. When you're used to being on stage and performing with so many amazing people, and then as happened to me in 2017, when I left Hamilton, I had this opportunity to start touring around the country and playing at concert halls and with symphonies. I mean, it was just a gift from heaven. And to show up as Renee Elise Goldsberry, not as Angelica Schuyler in Hamilton or Mimi in Rent or, you know, any of these in The Color Purple without this huge other name and a cast and a production behind me, I had to kind of be like, well, who's going to come for that? Fortunately, people did. I would always walk onto the stage feeling like I had to do it by myself. And then when I got there and I realized how talented the bass player and the drummer and the keyboard player and the singers and the my guitar player, I mean, they're so wonderful. They're such tremendous cheerleaders and they make it a party.
Every single song, every single track, I think it does take a village. I'm curious, when you stepped into the recording studio after you had written these songs, I'm sure that the musicians and the backup vocalists, they were adding things. They were adding layers that weren't there before. How much kind of collaboration was in that process? And I know you also collaborated with some pretty incredible people. maybe people have heard of them,
like,
you know,
like
Lin-Manuel Miranda and Sarah Bareilles.
So it's wonderful that you mentioned Lin, because that really sets me up to talk about Satisfied, which I almost didn't put on the album because I'm not necessarily a fan of remaking songs that are already perfect. And I think that song is perfect because I just think he's brilliant. And I think the company of people, I mean, and everything's perfect about it. But I needed access to the song outside of the world of Hamilton. Mm. And I think that all great songs can live outside of the musical or mm-hmm. the world that they were initially, you know, born into. And so I'm standing on stage without an entire company swirling around me, turning back time, as happens in the production of Hamilton. And the band, this band and those singers, you know, take the place of having Alexander sitting next to me and Eliza singing with me. It takes the place of them in a way that gives me and an entire audience anywhere I am in the world access to the song. It's so satisfying.
It's so good. And I think it's really beautiful that you did decide to take this and put it on the album, because there's so much love and passion wrapped up in this song. And I think so many people who listen to this album, it's just going to be a real gift to them to listen through to the album in full, and it kind of comes in like smack in the middle. And then it's like a little treat. It's a little cherry on top.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so glad you said that. You know, what's crazy is the fact that I put the outlier songs into the album, I think, makes Satisfied fit so well in the center of it, because it is so many things in one song.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a rap section, and then there's some emotional slower sections, and then there's rage, and all of these wonderful things exist, and it really deserves an entire canvas that can support every color. And so we were able to give it that.
Yeah. And it just points to and calls to that influence of the musical theater canon, which obviously is a big part of your life. You've mm-hmm. been in so many stage productions on Broadway, and that is, I'm sure, an influence for you. But I'm curious, I hear a lot of other influences in this album. There's some great R&B piano trills.
Yes.
There's a lot of funk. There's a little bit of disco.
Yes.
Like, talk to me about your musical influences and like what you were listening to when you were growing up that kind of called you to art and music in the first place.
Well, one thing I love about the time I grew up in the century before, is that we were at the mercy of our parents.
Mm.
That's one thing that our kids don't have to suffer, but they
actually
thank God for TikTok a little bit, because it gives them some access to other things. But in general, like, yeah, my dad had a disco. He put a disco in the basement of every house we ever lived in. My dad loves music. And so it was always, you know, Marvin Gaye, The Temptations, Sly and the Family Stone. It was all of it. It was, you know, play that funky music. It was, and then there's my mother who used to sing Karen Carpenter to me all the time in, you know, when she was giving me a bath, or, you know, my brother that would be playing some Stevie Wonder. Like, we were always listening to everything on the radio and everywhere we went. We, you know, our musical taste is always bigger than people might assume when they just put us in a certain demographic.
Mm-hmm.
And we live in this world now. So it wasn't just like me in high school, like listening to REO Speedwagon also, or Billy Joel or James Taylor or Joni Mitchell. I also got to listen to some Sarah Vaughan,
yes,
and some Ella Fitzgerald. Like, you know, they're so, our tastes are so wide. And as a parent, what I do to try to make sure that our kids also get that like wide spectrum is it'll, you know, I just, it'll cross my mind. Oh my God, the Gap Band. Like, you know, you just, you know, you're continually trying to make sure that you, they get the advantage that we had growing up with,
yeah,
so much influence.
Is there anything that you have kind of introduced to your children, even though they obviously have access to
everything
these days? Is there anything that you've been like, you know what? I really want to share this specific thing that I grew up loving with you.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I think one of the ones they haven't necessarily discovered yet is Luther Vandross.
My husband's favorite.
Oh my God, I love your husband.
My husband's absolute favorite.
Luther Vandross, Prince. You know, there are things that they, that for whatever reason, we just had to make sure you can't live in this home if you don't love Luther Vandross, if you don't love George Winston, like if you don't love, like, you know, that we bring things in that are really disparate in the world that we live in. You can love some country.
Yeah.
You can love some pop. You can love some music theater show tunes, you know, and a lot of hip hop.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. A broad spectrum.
Yeah.
We're getting close to wrapping up, which makes me sad because I want to talk to you forever. but I have a couple just things I'm curious to know about. Obviously, you've had this incredibly beautiful career, stage, film, television. It runs the gamut. You've done a little bit of everything. And we are, and this album celebrates this, I think, and it's a good reminder for everybody. We are not what we do.
Yes.
We are not our careers.
Yes.
We are people with dreams, goals, feelings, loves, pain points, joys first. So I'm curious, how has being a performer impacted you as a person and vice versa? What do you, Renee Elise Goldsberry, bring to being a performer that nobody else can because you're you?
It's so interesting. Someone told me many years ago, when you're a music theater singer, you sing like whoever originated the role, right? And we weren't recording artists, because recording artists, even though, you know, typically if you're going to be a music theater singer, you have to have this amazing instrument.
Mm-hmm.
But recording artists, it's not so much how broad or how whatever powerful the instrument is of their voice. It is how signature their sound is.
Mm.
It's the fact that in three notes, you can tell me that it's Bob Dylan or Aretha or whoever. It's that their sound is that signature to who they are.
Mm.
And I'm grateful that we live in a world where theater, like the recording arts, is really celebrating the individuality of the, of our voices.
Mm.
And that kind of translates into what it means to be an artist. I believe that what is good, what I have to offer, anything, is who I am. It's what I feel. It's what I'm afraid of. It's what I believe in. It's what, you know, encourages me. It's who I love. It's the love that I just got on my way in. It's the love I'm trying to give myself. I believe so strongly that that is the greatest gift I have in my relationships with people, in my parenting, in my showing up to read these lines. It is what I have. That's what it is. And in this album, I've been asked a lot who I really am. And people want to know, well, who are you really? And that's a hard question to answer because of what you just said. Because we immediately want to say, well, I'm an actress,
blank,
or I'm a mother, or I'm a whatever, I'm a Black woman or whatever. They didn't ask us what we do. They didn't ask us where we are. The question is who we are. And who we are, the answer is so simple. That's why it's hard. Me. The answer is literally just me. You can put your name in there if you want to, but you don't have to. The answer is just me, and everyone has the same answer. And what makes it different, what makes it signature, is an acceptance of whatever comes up naturally in me.
Yeah, being able to sit with that in a comfort and a pride of who you are, which I think it does take a long time.
Oh, it's hard. And the most important thing is to, even when you figured it out, you have to figure it out again.
Again,
it's okay.
And again.
Yeah, all the time, every day.
I feel like I'm figuring it out every decade.
Oh, yeah,
it changes.
I'm going to leave hair and I'm going to work on it again.
We're going to hear one last song in this gorgeous set.
Thank you.
And it's going to be the song Smiling, mm-hmm. which when I listened to this song for the first time, I giggled like that because it has this like R&B piano trill yes. at the beginning. And I was like, oh, okay, this is what we're doing.
Yeah. And then this amazing bass line. And it's just to me, it's just joy. And it's actually not terribly deep, you know what I mean? Which is lovely. It's really just
that's
about
a part of life too.
It's about the fact that when sometimes we have an experience, not sometimes, we have experiences that we carry with us when the experience is over. And we should, I think, be intentional about living our lives in whatever moment we find ourselves in so that when we're walking away, we're smiling.
Yeah.
Because we keep it with us. We're smiling when I walk away. And it's we've had that, you know, that night you hang out. I mean, here I am on this campus. Come on. This is where every night you should be walking away from somewhere like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe I said that. I can't believe he said that. Like that. That's it.
And we can smile about it.
And we can smile.
Well, even though I want to stay here for forever, we are going to listen to the last track. But before we do that, I always ask anybody who I interview at the very end, is there anything I didn't ask you that you wish I would have asked you?
You know what? You almost did. And I pivoted. But I would love to celebrate my friend Sarah Bareilles because she's the best.
And she wrote one of the songs
on
the album.
She gave me a song on this album. Yeah. So it's, you know, it might be obvious why one song that I didn't write on here was Satisfied from Hamilton because I'm not stupid. But the other thing is, you know, I'm also not stupid in that I have a really good friend who's like a sister to me who when I was brave enough to tell her that I was writing and recording my own album, she said, oh, I have a song that you might sing really well. I mean, not might. She didn't say that. But she was like, I'm not using it. And I think you'd be awesome. And so she gave it to me. And it's genius because everything she writes is genius. And
I sometimes
pinch myself. But I know that it's not an accident that I get to have the proximity with people that inspire me, that risk so greatly, because it really encourages me to keep risking. And I hope that all of the listeners will be grateful and intentional about surrounding themselves by people that really challenge themselves always. Just so we can remind us that that's what we do. Remind ourselves. That's what we do. I'm like Sarah Bareilles. I risk greatly. And so, yeah, she gave me a song. It's called Don't Want to Love You. Like everything she writes, it's wonderful. I'm very proud of it.
Oh, it's gorgeous. And I just can't recommend enough to everybody who's listening. Please go buy this album, Who I Really Am. It is 13 songs of just pure, unadulterated joy and musical prowess. And it's so much fun to listen to. You're going to be putting it on repeat right away. Let's listen to this last song. This is going to be a live version of Smiling. Again, this is Renee Elise Goldsberry. She's going to be singing Smiling live in Studio A for FUV Live Sessions. Renee, this was so much fun.
So
you
much fun.
A joy. Thank you so much.
This is my favorite.
Before somebody's wanting you to leave, I said an hour ago I was gonna hit the road. Don't know what has gotten into me. If we'll get together, turning into so much better. A moment becomes a memory. Oh, it's a good crazy things we said. And I can't make it home, 'cause we still texting on the phone, dropping bombs and blowing up this thread. I got a favorite new song, it's that one we played all night long, and now it's spinning in my head. Oh, it's a good real.
That was Renee Elise Goldsberry performing and in conversation at WFUV in New York City. A big thank you to Renee for joining us in our studio and to Borderlight Entertainment. Thanks to our WFUV audio team, including Jim O'Hara, Aaron Merriman, Matthew Ellersick, and Holden Buckley. Our FUV Live studio sessions are engineered by Jim O'Hara. Our associate producers for this episode were Diana Juarez, Ina Volovich, and Liv Grant. Our theme music was composed by John Crick. Be sure to follow FUV Live Sessions wherever you get your podcasts so you can listen to new episodes and maybe even find your next favorite artist or band. Episodes drop every Monday wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also catch audio and video of FUV Live Sessions on WFUV.org. FUV Live Sessions is a production of WFUV in New York City. I'm your host, Megan Suma.